Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Amen. He's good all the time. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 tonight. Exodus chapter 13. I want to read and focus in on verse 17. And we'll cover a few of the following verses, but verse 17 is my primary verse tonight. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people will repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. I want to entitle the message tonight, Let the Lord Lead You. Amen. Spirit of the living God, we need a touch from you. We need to hear words not from man, but from God. And so I pray tonight that you would help us to align our hearts in a way that we'll be able to receive all that you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start tonight by telling you that there are a lot of benefits and blessings that come along with this thing called salvation. Amen. One of the great blessings and one of the great benefits that we experience and we can enjoy because we've been saved by the grace of God is this awesome privilege of being led by the Lord. This awesome benefit of having God, the all-wise, the all-knowing, the all-seeing one, lead us in every area of our lives. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us and to direct us. And God is willing to do it if we will let him. Amen. God did not save you for you to live life in your own wisdom. God did not save you so that you could live life in your own strength. But one of the great privileges of being a child of God is that you have the privilege of being led by the Lord. When I think about my life and I look back over my life, I can tell you that if there's any area, and there's a whole bunch of them, but if there's any area whereby I failed as a believer, I failed in allowing the Lord to lead me and guide me. So he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. One of the things that you discover as you live in this world, you ought to learn some lessons. You ought to learn some things as you go through life. And one of the things you ought to learn that life is full of decisions. Amen. Decisions that affect your future. Decisions that impact your family. Decisions that will determine the quality of life that you live. Life is full of decisions. Some decisions are easy, as we think. Some decisions are more difficult. But not only is life full of decisions, listen, this world in which we live is full of dangers. There are decisions and there are dangers. The devil has plotted and planned on our demise. He's laid traps all along the way. Some dangers we can see and some are unseen. There are physical dangers. There are emotional dangers. There are spiritual dangers. This world is full of decisions and this world is full of danger. But folks, I want to tell you something else. This world is full of deception. Amen. This world is full of deception. One of the strengths of the devil is to be able to make what is false look real. He's a master at taking a lie and twisting it and bending it and shaping it. So when you look at it on the surface, it looks like the truth. This world is full of deception. And I say all that tonight to tell you that there will never be a time when you and I don't need God to guide us. There'll never be a time in all of our lives when we don't need the leadership of the Lord. The good news is that as a believer, it's available to you. It's available to you in every area, in every arena of your life. When we come to the book of Exodus chapter 13, the Bible tells us it was after Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them in the land of the Philistines, but he led them by way of the Red Sea and through the wilderness. He did not lead them in a direction that they probably perhaps thought they should have been going, but God took them a whole different direction. When I think about God leading us and God guiding us, there are some things that we have to understand. Some things, listen, that we have to keep at the forefront of our mind. Else we go through this life that is full of decisions, that is full of danger, that is full of deception. The first thing that I want you to see tonight, if you look at this text, just real quick tonight. But if you look at this text, listen. I want to share with you four things from verse 17 through verse 22 that is evident in their lives and it'll be evident in our lives. Number one, there is always a reason why God leads you in a certain direction. There's always a reason why God leads you in a certain direction. The Bible says in verse 13, look at verse 13. The Bible says, listen, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. The reason God did not take them in the direction that perhaps looked like it was easy way, or the direction that perhaps they thought would be the best way, was because God knew something that they didn't know. Sometimes, to the direction God takes us as people and as a church, sometimes it don't make sense. But there's always a reason why God leads us in the direction that he does. It's always a reason why God said, don't date her. You say, well, Lord, she's pretty. But don't date her. Don't go out with him. Oh, Lord, he's got big muscles. He's got the right color hair. He's been just what I've been looking for. The problem with us sometimes is what we're looking for is not really what we need. There's always a reason. There's always a reason why God sends us in a certain direction. There's always a reason why God opens certain doors and closes other doors. God has his reasons. And let me just tell you that though God explained it here, God don't always explain to us why he don't want us to go there. God don't always explain to us why we shouldn't take that promotion or why we shouldn't change jobs right now or why we shouldn't buy that new house right now. God sees things that you and I can't see. The first point that I want you to see tonight, listen, because listen, here's what I believe. I believe that there may be some people here tonight that you have prayed and you've asked God to guide you and to direct you. But where you have ended up at is not exactly a place of comfort. It is not exactly a place where it looks like that you're in the will of God. And you've been praying and you've been asking God, Lord, what's going on here? Why have you brought me here? Why is this happening at this moment in my life? Listen, God always have a reason for bringing you in the direction that he brought you. That's the first point. The Lord, the Bible says in verse 17 that God knew that the potential for war was in the land of the Philistines. He said, listen, and I know that they're not ready for war yet. You see, here's the other thing that God knows that we don't know. God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. God knows what we're ready for and what we're not ready for. That there are some young people, you think you're ready for life. You think you're ready to start dating. You think you're ready to make your own decisions. You think that you have arrived at that place where you can do it with no problem at all. But sometimes what we think we can handle, we really can't handle it. My first point tonight, listen to me. My first point is this. There's always a reason. There's always a reason why God brought you in the direction that he's brought you. Here's the second point that is found in verse 17. The paths that God takes may not always make sense. Listen what the verse says. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. That was the closest. Maybe that was even the easiest path to take. Maybe that was the path that everybody else took when they went out of Egypt. But God don't always lead us in a path that makes sense to us. Don't always bring us in a direction whereby we're able to figure it out and we're able to understand and comprehend why he's done it this way. God sometimes leads us in a path that don't make sense. I heard Brother T.D. Jake said that sometime when you're praying for a blessing and you ask God for an oak tree, God will give you an acorn. Amen. And sometime when you're praying for God to do a certain thing in your life, God goes about doing it, but the way he goes about doing it don't make sense. You say, Lord, I want to serve you. And Lord, the Lord will put you in a position where it hurts. You say, Lord, I want to be used. And God will put you in a place where you're challenged. Don't always make sense, Morgan. It don't always, God, listen, the path that God takes us don't always make sense. I never would have understood the path that God has brought me to ministry if God had tried to explain it to me 30 years ago. Amen. I probably would have laughed. Lord, said, you gonna get ready one Saturday night, and rather than going out and party, you're going to go to church. And while you're at church, you're going to meet this young lady that is going to catch your whole attention. And you're going to marry her. And 25 or 26 years later, you're going to be pastoring an all-white church down in Prospect, Tennessee. I'd have said, Lord, no way. Didn't make sense. Didn't make sense. Yes, he got one. And sometimes, Teresa, what tickles God don't tickle you. Listen to me. Listen. If you don't get nothing else, because listen, I know this group right here. Y'all are some people who wants to follow the Lord. I know that. God showed it to me. Listen, Your responsibility is not to understand why God has brought you in this direction. Your responsibility is just to follow him. That's your responsibility. Now listen to me. Listen. Stop fighting with the Lord. Stop fighting. Listen to me. Stop fighting with the Lord. Stop fighting with him. Listen, sometimes I just heard little man cry out there, and I thought about sometimes we criticize the children because mama or daddy have to drag them to church, and mom and daddy have to drag them here, and mom and daddy have to drag them there, and mom and daddy have to stay on them to get them to do right. But some of us as adults are no different than the children. We fight God every step of the way. The problem, listen, the problem with Israel, the reason why the first generation missed their blessing is because they could never agree with the Lord. God said, go left. They said, we're going right. God said, stand still. God, they said, we're getting ready to move. God said, move. They said, we ain't going nowhere. They never could agree with. They were always at odds with the Lord. They were always fighting the Lord. Number one. That's number one. There's a reason. There's a reason why God has brought you in the direction that he's brought you. Number two, the paths that God takes may not always make sense. Your job is not to figure it out. Your job is just to follow. Here's the third thing that I want you to see in this text. Look down in verse 18. But God led the people about through the way. Now watch this. Through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land. Underline the fact that God led them through the wilderness. Whenever the Bible uses the word wilderness, it's literally talking about the desert. The desert is a hard place. The desert is a difficult place. The desert is a place whereby, listen, heartache and pain and suffering and challenges and struggles is the order of the day. Here's my third point tonight. And that is, God don't always take the easy trails. The problem with us in America is that we've gotten used to everything being easy and convenient. Amen. We get hungry. And we don't want to cook. We just jump in our car and go to McDonald's. Amen. Amen. We want fresh vegetables. We don't go to the field anymore or to the garden. We just go to the pantry and open up a fresh can. We're used to everything being easy. Everything being convenient. And I'm going to tell you something. We are ruining the next generation. I'm telling you, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord, we're ruining the next generation, because if it ain't easy and if it ain't fun, we'll get out of it. Do you understand that we're in a spiritual battle here? Do you understand that there are forces of darkness that have aligned themselves against us to make sure we don't go any further? I hear people say it all the time. I ain't going to that church. They don't have no fun down there. Forget that you're being taught the word of God. Forget that somebody's trying to teach you the principles. Because it ain't a fish fry, because it ain't a picnic, because it's not a party, you're not going to come. We made the battlefield a playground. God led them through the wilderness. Because listen, there was a reason, Paula. There was a reason why God had to lead them through the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, the real is separated from the false. In the wilderness, listen, in the wilderness or in the desert, when you're under the pressure and the heat of the sun, you see what you're made of. Some of us don't know what we made of, because every time it gets a little hot, we run. Every time it gets a little uncomfortable, we throw in the towel. Every time we get challenged, we shift, not gears, but positions. God led them through the wilderness for a reason. Two things they learned in the wilderness. Listen, number one, they learned the power of God. And number two, they learned the fickleness of man. They learned that in the wilderness. And some of you, listen to me, some of you right now, tonight, you're in the wilderness. You're battling against all kind of stuff. Some of it coming from outside in, some of it coming from the inside. You're battling depression, you're battling discouragement. You're battling the feeling of hopelessness. You're battling all kind of dark forces. Because it's not until you're in a battle where you learn whether or not you have the skills to fight. And so you know what God does? God takes you in the wilderness. He takes you in the desert. He allows some things to happen to you. Let me tell you something. Everything that ever happened to me to you, God allowed it to happen. Every disappointment, every setback, every attack of the enemy, every time I thought I was going to win and lost, every time somebody broke my heart, every time somebody forsook me, every time somebody mistreated me, everything that ever happened to me, God allowed it to happen. Because, listen, God cannot use you if God cannot test you. And so he takes them to the wilderness. He takes them to the wilderness. Listen, my third point tonight is that God don't always choose the easy way. Any coach will tell you that in order to have a championship team is not just what they do in the game. It's what happens in practice. It's what happens in practice. And every championship team will tell you, from the first day of training until the last whistle blow in the last game, we thought our coach was the worst person on the face of the earth. You know why? Because that coach would not let you settle with just being average. He would not let you settle with coming up to almost the best that you could be. And God's desire for you, the reason why he's brought you in the hard places and the difficult places and the places that test you and try you, is because God knows that there is much more in you than what you think is in you. Sometime in order to bring it out, God had to put you in a rough place. God don't always take the easy way. Is this making sense tonight? Amen. Here's number four. Look down with me in verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here's my fourth point. Where God leads, God will always provide. Wherever God leads, God will always provide. I want you to notice how awesome God is when it comes to being a leader. No leader like God. No leader like the Lord. Listen, God gave them a pillar of clouds in the daytime. And God gave them a pillar of fire at night. Now, one of the reasons why God did that is so that, listen, as a believer, we ought to be able to travel and to move forward at every season of life. We ought to be able to go when the sun is shining, but we also ought to be able to move forward when it's dark and dreary. And God gave them a pillar of clouds, Bobby Claude, for the daytime. The cloud was used as a protective shield from the heat of the sun. And at night, when it would be difficult to see and difficult to travel, God would take that same cloud and strike it with his holy glory, and it would give light so that they could travel. At night, he was a shield for them. Or at day, he was a shield for them. And at night, he was light and heat for them so that they could travel at any time. Whenever God guides us, we allow him to guide us, he'll provide for us. He'll provide. Now, what I come tonight to ask you to do, stop fighting with the Lord. Just let him lead you. Just let him guide you. Just say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I don't know where to go from here. I don't even know how to get there. But you promised me if I would just surrender to you, you would lead me. You would guide me and you would direct me. The final thing from this text that I want you to see is in verse 22. Look with me one more time in verse 22. The Bible says, and he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. What that verse is telling us, that from the time they left Egypt until they made it to where they were supposed to be, that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire was there. What I'm saying to you tonight is that that same guidance and that same leadership that was available to them is available to us tonight. Five things I want to share with you real quick about the leadership of the Lord. Here's number one. Number one, you must be willing to receive it. You must be willing to receive it. I don't care, listen to me, I don't care how a parent plead and talk and counsel. If the child won't receive it, it won't help them. It's the same true with us. The problem with some of us is that we already think we got the answers. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can God talk to you? I mean, listen, are you open to receive counsel from the Lord? Can God speak to you? Can God give you directions and guidance in your life? I always know I'm finna get in trouble. Whenever the Lord is saying something to me and then I say, yeah, Lord, but. I know I shouldn't do this, but. I know this ain't the right way, but. Ask your question. Are you willing to receive instructions from the Lord? Is your heart open so God can talk to you? Let me tell you what I know. You will never end up in the right place not listening to the Lord. 1st thing, you must be willing to receive it. Here's the 2nd thing. You must be sensitive to his voice. You must be sensitive to his voice. The Bible says, Jesus said, listen, that my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Are you sensitive? Listen, are you listening to what God has to say, or are you listening to everybody around you? Are you listening to your own emotions? Are you sensitive to the voice of God? Write this verse down. You don't have to turn there, but write down 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible said that Elijah was on the run from a woman by the name of Jezebel, because Elijah had dealt with the false prophets. And Elijah go and he hides himself in a cave. And while he's hiding in a cave, the Lord come and visit him. And the Bible said, listen, that there was an earthquake, that there was a fire, there was a strong wind, but the Lord wasn't in none of those. But then the Bible said that God spoke to him in a still small voice, and Elijah heard it and he recognized it. And the Bible said he wrapped himself in his mantle and he went out of the cave and he talked with the Lord. The problem with the church today is that we're no longer sensitive to the voice of the master. He's talking, but we don't hear him. He's speaking, but we're not listening. I talked to you this morning about distractions. I believe that one of the greatest problems in the church today and in the hearts of believers is that we're so distracted by things that don't even matter anymore. Are you sensitive? Are you sensitive to the voice of the Lord? Here's the third thing real quick tonight. You must be willing to trust the Lord and not yourself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Whenever you start living your life by what you think and how you feel and the opinion of people around you, you're about to get yourself in a mess. I've learned something about me. I can't even trust how I feel. Number one, they change. Amen. I feel like I didn't like turnip greens. I said, don't cook no turnip greens, man. I already know what I can tell. I don't like turnip greens. Don't cook no turnip greens. After one fork of them turnip greens, I decided I like turnip greens. Our feelings have a way of changing, don't they? And a lot of times when we're making decisions based on our feelings, we have only limited facts. Have you ever decided you didn't like somebody just because of the way they walk? Boy, they walk like a crook. Amen. But once you allow them and give them an opportunity, you find out that they're not as bad as you thought they were. Listen. You must be willing to trust the Lord and not trust yourself. Here's number four. Perhaps the most important one. I really want you to get a hold of this, and I promise you. 5 more minutes and we'll be leaving. But I want you to get a hold of this one. You must be willing to test every thought, every idea, and every suggestion to determine where it comes from. If you're going to be guided by the Lord. You must be willing to test every thought, every idea, and every suggestion. Turn with me tonight. Just turn to one verse. But turn with me tonight to 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want us to look at verse number 1. Because there is an idea here that John lays down, talking about false teachers and false preachers that can apply to every area of your life. Now, listen to me very carefully, because I believe this is the most important one. There's a principle that John lays down here, talking about false teachers and false preachers that I believe applies, listen, that can apply to every area of your life. I told you that we live in a deceptive world. And some people who are deceptive don't even know that they're being deceptive. Some people, listen, that will fool and trick you, think that they're doing you a favor. They think they're doing the right thing. The problem is when the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Listen what John says. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You need to underline that. Because John said, listen to me. He said, number one, he said, do not believe every spirit. when you're going to take advice and when you're going to take counsel from somebody, number one, you need to ask God, what kind of spirit are they walking in? Amen. You need to be able to determine from what direction is this suggestion coming from. You see, every person in the world is either being led by the Spirit of God or they're being led by the spirit of the devil. Can I just tell you something? That everybody that stands in the pulpit is not being led by the Spirit of God. Everybody that comes through the doors of the church is not being led by the Spirit of God. You need to know where this spirit is coming from. Every thought that comes in your mind did not come from the Lord. Every suggestion, how many of y'all get suggestions during the day? Amen. Devil just walk up and suggest something. Why don't you punch him in the mouth? Why don't you watch pornography? Why don't you slander this person right here? You got to be able to determine where that suggestion is coming from. You see, just because it feel good and just because it sound right don't mean that it came from the Lord. I have people both in and out of the church walk up to me all the time and say, won't you do this or won't you do that? And immediately I begin to try to figure out, where is this coming from? Can I tell you something? If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
Good people can walk in bad spirits sometimes. Amen. Saved people. People that's on their way to heaven can get in the wrong spirit sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. And what you got to do so that you don't get sidetracked and caught out of position with the Lord, you got to determine, is my wife walking in the spirit of the Lord or is she walking in the spirit of the devil? Amen. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, it can be a husband just like it can be a wife. And that's what you got to determine. James said, don't believe every spirit. He said, but listen, watch this. He said, try the spirit by the spirit. Let me tell you how you can determine whether or not if somebody is walking in the spirit. Listen, number one is by what your spirit says to you if you're walking in the spirit. See, when you're walking in the spirit and I'm not walking in the spirit and I make a suggestion to you, immediately the spirit in me says, whoa, wait a minute. Am I the only one that experiences this? Now, at that point, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. Am I going to align with this person who's wrong, or am I going to align with God who is right?
Amen. Amen.
But then here's the second way that you know when a person's walking or where the spirit come from. How does it line up with the word of God? How does it line up with the word of God? Let me tell you something the Holy Spirit will never do. He will never try to get you to go against what is truth and revealed in the word of God. And so John said, try every spirit. Try every spirit to see whether or not it's of God or of the devil. Here's the final thing, number five. We'll go home. Number five. You're going to be guided by the Lord. You got to have a humble and submissive spirit. You got to have a humble and submissive spirit. Turn with me to Psalm 32. We'll close with this verse tonight. Psalms 32. Psalms 32. The writer here in Psalm 32 has been talking about forgiveness. He's been talking about the great treasure of forgiveness, the great blessing of being forgiven. But then down in verse 8, he gives us a word of instruction. Psalm 32, verse 8. David says, and this is the Lord speaking, he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eyes. But verse 9 says, but don't be like the horse or like the donkey, the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Here's what David's trying to teach us. He said, you want to be guided by the Lord? You got to submit to his leadership. You got to submit to his guidance. David said, listen, he said, don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule that's stubborn and set in his way. The only way you can handle them is you got to put a bit in their mouth. You got to pull back when you want them to stop. You got to twist this way when you want them to go a direction. He said, don't be like that. He said, don't make the Lord put a bit in your mouth. Don't make the Lord put a bridle on you where he had to force you to do what you ought to do and to go in the direction that you ought to go. God led Israel. He didn't lead them the easy way. He didn't lead them to the convenient way. He didn't even lead them in the direction that made sense to them, but he led them. And that same God wants to lead us tonight. Your travel with the Lord, listen, your travel with the Lord will be a hard and difficult travel if he's got to force you and make you learn the lessons that you ought to be learning. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. There's a better way. Humble yourself, surrender to his lordship, and let him have his way.